Good evening, everyone. The Momus Bog Spaniels have been released without their supper. The electric fence has been energized at the airlock. And so I think we're as close to normal as we ever get. Joining me on the dais is Harry Balzac.
Good evening, my lord.
And the others who can, introduce themselves.
I'm Wilma Boadicea Fingerdoo.
I'm Mia Braveheart Harkness.
I'm Norma the Pan Snookers.
And I'm keeping my head down.
Typical man. Brave until you have to stand up and be counted. Or you, what are you looking at? Get on with the news.
The name's Bond. Buff Bond.
Knock, knock, knocking on Tharg's front door.
This season's must-have item. Spam.
Hiatus halting handy Hutton helper.
A reminder never to ask Cecil for help or for a loan.
I'm not speaking to you lot.
I'll be telling you what's happening in community-led events around the galaxy.
And finally, a roundup of the items we couldn't be bothered to write more about. With the galaxy so full of things to do, ways to earn and lose credits, and exciting methods of going to see the rebuy screen, sometimes it takes the Pilots Federation a while to get around to peering at things that maybe they've taken their eye off for a while. In their latest deep dive into how to encourage pilots to get out there and keep the galaxy safe, they've been looking into bondage. No, not the kind that comes with an imperial contract and a promise of being able to earn your freedom, nor the other kind that's illegal everywhere and involves wearing a steel collar with ball and chain accessory, but the third kind. With the waxing and waning of fortunes for factions across known space, it is inevitable that every now and again, there's a little bit of slap and tickle, or if the factions are a little one-sided, a thorough spanking handed out in special designated zones. These zones are where the usual rules don't apply, where the social norms of a polite "Greetings, Commander," or "07," are not deemed necessary, and where the law chooses to turn a blind eye. We're talking about the bondage areas otherwise known as combat zones, where you can earn a quick few thousand credits for poking your nose into a no-holds-barred slugfest against the galaxy's finest. The bonds people at your local station have had their wallets prized open, the dust blown away, and as with their companions from the local bounty board, are offering increased payouts if you decide to don your red shirt, brown trousers, and get stuck in during a conflict near you. Not to be outdone, the anti-Xeno bondage experts have followed suit, and for those who like things a little bit spikier and their encounters full of appendages, they've adjusted the payouts for defending the galaxy from Tharg, just like Atrus does. With up to 40 million credits on offer for taking on the toughest that Tharg throws, there has never been a better time to fatten your wallet with a go at the pugilistic pursuits. Oh, and if anyone was wondering, if you get out of your depth and decide that discretion is the better part of valour, the safe words are friendship drive charging.
With the latest community goal having drawn to a close, details will be available from Flossie later in this broadcast, there are questions as to whether the latest initiatives are actually a good idea. The Coalsack Nebula is a hive of Thargoid activity. Nearby systems to Betancourt base are swarming with AX signal sources, hype addictions are rife, and eight-sided meanies are hoovering up occupied escape pods to have their wicked way with them every which way. What's more, it is common knowledge that ammonia worlds are a surefire indicator of Thargoid activity in the area, with landable rocky worlds containing barnacles most often found in the vicinity of ammonia-rich areas. So it begs the question, with all those wonderful Earth-like and water worlds out there, what in the pale blue dot are the authorities doing by attempting to terraform ammonia worlds? If there's one thing that's bound to stir up trouble of the anomaly detective, followed by the ship offline and eject, eject, eject kind, it's going poking around in Tharg's backyard. Imagine, if you will, the methanoids of planet Guff landing on Earth instead of the far more favourable Titan, and deciding that what was needed were herds of bean-fed giant cattle outputting clouds of noxious CH4 before deciding to bring their own brand of rather smelly civilization to England's green and pleasant land. They might even bring a flag and stick it somewhere. Humanity would object, though it wouldn't be unheard of to offer them somewhere we didn't actually want very much, like Slough, Belgium, or maybe the Isle of Wight. And war would follow as sure as night follows day, and about as fast as it does over at Meterund Hollow. As the 21st century philosopher and sex icon Dr. Ian Malcolm once said, "Your scientists were so preoccupied with whether or not they could, they didn't stop to think if they should." At least everyone who took part is now elite in exploration, can find their own way to Beagle Point when it all goes wrong, and has a nifty new scanner for their ship to show for it.
Spam. From post-war delicacy to the butt of many a python-flavoured jest, the heart of the tastiest fritters this side of a Mokajin beast feast, and onward into cyberspace as one of the first digital plagues to have struck in the late 1990s. Spam has been part of the daily diet of humanity for generations. In recent years, as the man says, spam's off. Or at least it was until this week. Commander Flossie, Queen of the Community Gulls, Fuel Rat, Pilots Federation favourite, and Video Starlet unearthed a few old boxes deep in the burial ruins near the tomb of Mr. Dusty. Spotting a box labelled, "You wouldn't believe what we've caught you doing on camera," her interest was piqued and she promptly broke out of Wrongway's old projector, loading it in the cartridge and blowing the dust off the remote control buttons. The speakers resounded with the words, "Broadcast your trash," before every communication panel within 20 metres lit up like your street during Christmas. Started flashing and transmitting the words, "You wouldn't believe what we saw you doing on camera," to all and sundry. The first Flossie knew of this was when her inbox collapsed under the weight of messages from worried truckers that she'd been hunted down by Mr. Dusty and was in danger of being eviscerated by the most heinous of robot home help. The latest Mr. Dusty virus doesn't appear to have any payload that we've discovered yet, but it is appearing to simulate being alive by having one purpose: to replicate itself as fast as is digitally possible. So, if you receive a message from Flossie, don't forget to go through two-factor Flossification and not only ask her to tick the box saying, "I'm not a robot," but also demonstrate her patented two-handed backpan swing and clang follow-through. Something that, to date, no robot has ever been able to emulate. Just like that.
There was a slight hiccup this week when, in the otherwise smooth running of the Hutton Helper, or as Antarius calls it, his chicks magnet, as the helper's front entrance filled up with ammonia, and commanders, now they realised there was something in it for themselves, streaked around the galaxy. No, of course not like that. They obviously kept the flight suits on, A, because cockpits are kept very cold and no one wants a naked Hollow Me picture in those circumstances, and B, Bucknecked may have flown that ship previously, and no matter how many times you clean the seat, it never really feels clean, does it? Where was I? Oh yeah, sprinted better. Around the galaxy, some commanders sticking their probes where no one had stuck a probe before, whilst others went over ground that had been covered more times than yesterday on my way. Swarms and swarms of foul-smelling ships dropped their data at Betancourt Base, and at this point, the helper metaphorically closed the curtains to allow the work to continue unobserved. Everything was still working, and if you knew the magic words, the correct uttered right line or URL, you can still peep and reassure yourself that the hamsters were still on their wheels. Eventually, the smell of pine replaced that of ammonia, and Antares whipped off the covers to reveal a brand new shiny Hut and Helper homepage. That looked exactly like the old one. Seriously though, Antares, we know you work bloody hard on the Helper. We are able to perform tasks as the truckers that would be somewhere between that's too bloody hard and impossible without it. But mate, a little pizzazz wouldn't hurt when upgrading. It helps to maintain some of the mystery.
Sleepy time commander Rip Van Taren, famed for flying late at night with a keyboard stuck to his face and incipient sunburn from fuel scooping with his eyes closed, was reminded recently of the old saying, never leave your drinks cabinet, your cockpit, or your youngest daughter unaccompanied when Cecil comes to stay. Commander Taren, for once wide awake but still not thinking, decided that a two-hour dinner was the perfect time to leave a snoozing Cecil in charge of his ship and to leave the comms line open. Some kind of sixth sense must have alerted the old goat that not only was his glass empty, as usual, but now so was the cockpit. Feeling slightly bilious from the smell of fried something drifting up from the galley, our bekilted buffoon closed the door and opened another bottle. After a couple of swigs, Cecil's sense of bonhomie reached new heights, and he just had to reach out. Messages such as, are you the farmer? Don't you know who I am? And you came in that thing, you're braver than I thought, were shared across the ether, causing consternation and confusing the bejesus out of one new commander who'd only recently joined the discussion messaging service to get help. Eventually, and as we said before, that's after 2 hours, Taren belched his way back into the ethanol and juniper-scented control center of his ship and managed to coax Cecil back into his box by creating a lure from a swizzle stick dangling on a piece of string. Let this be a lesson to all you pilots out there with an overdeveloped sense of compassion. Cecil is a great companion when you're carousing, but for goodness sake, don't let him touch anything.
I'm slightly confused this week. I distinctly remember last week being one where I had a message for you direct from his fluffiness himself. I also distinctly remember it saying, and I quote, you've dropped the ball in the Rences, we're dropping and on the verge of conflict, so get some serious boosting done there. Basically, do in the Rences what you've been doing in LP532-81, Van Marnen Star, PSPF-LF2 and Leuten 45-41 and vice versa. What I don't remember saying, and I have checked this very carefully, is, oh sorry, that was just for fun, you really need to do the opposite, which is what you've done. So we're on the verge of being kicked out of Narensis. There's only the Narensis mob below us, and they are literally a dozen pilots crammed into an adder. Well done there. We're also looking at expansion from Van Marnen Star, so you screwed that one up too. The only thing that anyone did that was of any use was dropping PSPF-LF2 to an almost perfect 48.3%. But don't get cocky. You blasted Wolf 124 up by 10% and let the EDF, the bloody EDF, jump us in Kakari. So we've got another war to fight from tomorrow. I'd say you know what to do, but as far as I can see, you can't tell a multi-cannon from an armchair. The rubbish dump near the core was no better, scraping through the election with only a day to spare and already pending another one. Now, as far as I'm concerned, you can all sod off gathering expiration data, and I hope you run out of fuel just as the fuel rats have their Christmas party and aren't around to rescue you. It's a shame Norma's got nice stuff to tell you. None of you deserve it.
Here's this week's news on community organised events. Christmas Carriers Convoy 5, delivering presents to Colonia, led by the fleet carrier, the Cosmic Parrot, has arrived at its destination. Commander Belwyn Darkstar reports that collection of tritium is slow and that any help would be appreciated. Commanders, please get in contact with Commander Belwyn Darkstar if you can assist. Commander Nicol sends greetings from the Great Expedition 3306, where he tells us a quarter of our explorers are reaching a third of the Great Expedition 3306. We had multiple photo contests already and a lot of photos shared. No issues up to now, but some explorers did a detour to the Corsac Nebula to sell their data, some for more than 1 billion credits. We are continuing the journey. It is getting difficult to communicate with explorers as they are far from communications points, and a strange signal has been detected recently. If you want to find out more about the Great Expedition 3306, and maybe find out more about the mysterious signal, details are at bit.ly/GE3306. That's capital G, capital E. Those nice people at the East India Company have once again freed their hearts on their trading post at this time of year. It's time for Operation EI Christmas. This year has been a rough one for all of us floating around in space, so we at the East India Company have decided to help spread some joy to everyone this year once more in the run-up to Christmas, and finally help some of our new commanders on their engineering journey. From the 1st of December until the 23rd of December, the trading post will be giving away rare goods and commodities required for unlocking those pesky engineers for free. First-rate chaps, I imagine our epic commanders, and many a Noah Sky Dog, will be paying you a visit and taking advantage of your generosity. You can find them at eicgaming.com/trading-post. The Elite Racers are finally hosting another ship racing event. This Sunday at 1800 UTC, they're going to return to Corato Canyon, a race course contributed by Paladin Consortium and Commander Arkansand, and the racers offer a big thank you to them. If you're interested in taking part, you can get to the sign up via bit.ly/Corato, that's capital Q Q-A-R-A-T-O. And that's all we have this week. Did we miss out your event or miss out one that you know about? We can only cover things that we know about, and so that's easy to fix. Get in touch with us and tell us about coming events, and we'll be glad to include them in a future show.
And finally, Commander Vector 883 Roger seems to have a face that's gone all stripy. People keep throwing things at him and attempting to check that their probe has gone where it was supposed to, and to look at his rear end to make sure it is covered. The good news is that the scans are all clear. The bad news is that the ambulance that popped out to check on him hasn't offered him a lift home from Beagle Point.
Over in Mitranis, the 10th Squadron have called foul as the 11th took temporary ownership of the system, promising to give it back after the next expansion, and surprise, surprise, haven't handed the keys back yet. Of course, Hutton's opinion is that a trucker's home is his castle, and of course, the home team always has the advantage. Any pilots wishing to lend a hand in wrestling those sons of a silly person off of the battlements are invited to pay a visit. Just don't forget the hamsters and the elderberries.
There were minor palpitations recently after the engineers responsible for upgrades to your shipboard probinator appear to have indicated that they were going on strike and refusing to honour promises put out by the Pilots Federation. Felicity Farseer, Yuri Ishmak, Sir Etienne of Dorne, Lei Chung, Hera Tani, Laurie Jameson, Bill Turner, Tiana Fortune, all declared that they were far too busy with their other engineering projects to be faffing about with free probes for everyone. And besides, the Pilots Federation did not submit the right form, as you need a 4LB1-2/A and not an LB1-2/B. And besides that, everyone knows you're not supposed to hand in the purple copy. Commander Luna of the PF has had a stern word, and can now confirm that they're all now doing as they're told and providing the promised upgrades soon. Trademark. And She has said that the Back Soon sign on the offices of Universal Cartographics at Betancourt Station is definitely temporary, and that the shutters should be back up tomorrow. And we're not to fret.
Spectators hoping for massive explosions and chunks of rock flying past their ships were disappointed this week, as planets Rhubarb and Custard actually passed through each other instead of colliding. It has been speculated that this was due to latent frameshift energies from all the eager observers, their wakes all overlapped, changing the molecular density of the planets, or some such scientific excuse as to why we didn't get fireworks. At least everyone got a lovely view of a pair of massive globes for a few hours and was able to say, "Oh, would you look at the size of them?"
This is a safety announcement. When using Hutton Station computer terminals, could we please remind people that when searching for new flight sticks, HOTAS has only one S. We can't be held responsible for what you see if you get that wrong, but we know that the Puritanical Asterisk Society went a bit purple as the contents of the screens went blue.
It seemed that cyborgs ran rampant as fancy dress came to Hutton. In advance of the release later tonight by the Pilots Federation regarding space legs, coinciding with the annual Dress Like It's 2077 Metal Hair and Neon Cosplay competition, some of the team have been getting into character with their own personal augments. Commander Vantian sporting a rather fetching exoskeleton on one arm. Flossie's gone for the full pink mohawk. And Rampage appears to have his arse in a sling.
We're always up for a party, and we're doubly up for a party with Centauri Megajin in large containers. Commander Ascorbius has promised that he's working on something special, and the party-sized tub of gin he's teasing us with makes us want to send out for a Type 9 full of tonic.